This week, you're going to have the opportunity for the next several days before Christmas. You can curse at the traffic. You can get aggravated and lose your temper at the stores. You can choose to get depressed. But I hope today you will choose to lift Jesus up in all that you do. And remember that maybe that little extra drive time is more time for you to pray. And who knows what God may use you to do, because you'll have a voice into some people's lives that no one else will have. They can see Christ in you, and see Him in your attitude more than anything. I hope you'll use it. We have a number of our people that are on the road. They'll be traveling. We are traveling already and going out of town. How many of you are going out of town this week? Yeah, several of them. So we'll pray for you and pray God's speed for you. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming. We celebrate the first coming of Jesus at this time. It's a big deal. Outside of the revelations in the Revelation, there's no other place in the Bible, no other event that is more heralded by the speech of angels. Think of how many times angels were in the story. So it's a big deal. And we've been celebrating each Sunday. The first Sunday of Advent, we celebrated the prophets. We saw the plan of God unfold in the Old Testament, and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born, there it was in detail, even down to where He was going to be born. We'll see that today. And fulfilled perfectly. So if the prophecies about the first coming were pretty accurate, they weren't just pretty accurate, they were absolutely 100% accurate, then what does that say about the second coming? Second Sunday of Advent was the angels. We saw how many angels spoke forth. The word angel, angelos, means messenger. They brought the message of God to His people. Mary and Joseph had numerous opportunities. The shepherds heard the angel. They're all over the story, bringing the message of God. And even right now, as we're meeting here today, angels are looking in. They're looking in here today. They're with us. Last Sunday, we celebrated the shepherd. We saw that here's God's little reminder to us that you can be the down and out, the under and out, the over and out. And God wants you to have the message too, to speak it specially for Him, and to have a whole bunch of angels come, and I believe they sang it. I believe they sang it, and I believe it is in what was in music like they had never heard. And by the way, if you haven't gone through and listened to Handel's Messiah this Advent season, I hope you will. That's probably the greatest piece of Christmas music that there is out there. I hope you'll listen to that message of that. Well, today is the candle of the Magi. Now, we've been asking the question all month, who is Jesus? Each week we've been seeing a piece of that story, seeing the revelation of Jesus. Does it matter the identity of someone or a group? Well, let me tell you a little story to get you going on that. Probably about 25 years ago, I was pastor of another church here in town, and Audrey and I were invited to a banquet to speak at a leadership banquet for another church in town. In fact, it was the Ardsley Park Baptist Church. They'd invited me. I had been on the cradle roll of that church. And they invited me to come and to speak to the pastor, staff, and deacons. It was quite a big deal to come at Christmas time and speak to them. They were having this banquet at Kerry Hilliard out on Abercorn. So we got dressed up and showed up at the appropriate time at Kerry Hilliard, walked in and asked them, said, "Where's the group having a banquet?" They said, "Right back here." Took us back there. We sat down. There were several people I knew in the room, shaking hands, sat down, we're talking to them. Waitress comes in, gets our order. I remember exactly what I ordered. I ordered shrimp and oysters that night. And we're talking. We're there about 20 minutes. And I leaned over to Audrey and I said, you know, kind of laughed, that fake laugh, you know. I said, "Wouldn't it be funny if we showed up at the wrong banquet?" And so, now that I had my doubts spoken out, and I had to hear them, I leaned over the person I'd been talking to for the last 15 minutes. I said, "This is the banquet of Ardsley Park Baptist Church, right?" He said, "What?" He said, "This is a banquet for Woodmen of the World. What are you doing here?" So we promptly got up and went to the waitress and said, "Cancel that order. Where's the other group meeting here tonight?" She said, "Oh, they're in the back." We went back there. You see, it matters, the identity. It matters a lot. We had a case of mistaken identity with banquet. Now, I want to read you this story out of Matthew chapter 2. And it's the story of the Magi, or the wise men. In fact, they were first called the wise men by Tertullian in the 3rd century B.C., but actually, literally, the word is magi. Verse 1, chapter 2 in Matthew. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what was written by the prophet." Here he quotes from the Old Testament. "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." Do you believe that? After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. So, do you think this is an important event? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh. Those are important three things. We'll come back to them. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left their own country by another way. Now, who were the Magi, first of all? They were from the east. They were probably Persians. Probably. We don't know that. We can see one of the titles that Daniel had invoked part of that name, Magi, when he was in that part of the world, in Babylonian captivity. They had a place in the society of that day, one that was kind of a religious / political place. They were seers, they watched the stars, they said they were very learned men. They studied other literature. And you see, we're on the other side of the Fertile Crescent. But I wonder, when the Jews were there in Persia, in captivity, I wonder if a copy of the Scripture was left there. That's just dusty. Wondering out loud. I wonder if they had studied these Scriptures, these Old Testament Scriptures themselves. Now, when asked about them coming by Herod, and by the way, let's talk about Herod for a moment. Here's a guy born in 70 BC. He was not a Jew, literally. He came through Esau's line. He had all sorts of problems, and I like what one teacher that John and I have listened to a good bit on tape, a fellow named Chuck Missler. I like what he has to say about this question. I'd never heard this question posed before. When they come and say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" You see, Herod was not born King of the Jews. He had manipulated, this is Herod the Tetrarch, there are several Herods in Scripture, Herod the Tetrarch. He had manipulated, lied, murdered, cheated, stolen to get to the place where he was. And when the Scripture says, he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him, you know what that means? When he had a little toe ache, it was everybody's problem. Now imagine, these guys show up. Now, how many were there? How many Magi were there? Anybody know? Do you think it was just three? I don't think so. Because back then, you're going to take a trip of hundreds of miles over some rough terrain. We're talking about most probably, these were learned guys. These were guys who were men of means. Their gifts show that. But even the position that they held, if they were from Persia, somewhere in the east, most probably from there, that their position in society, they had means. You didn't travel with just a few people. We're talking about an entourage of at least 30, 40, maybe upwards of 70 or 80 even 100 people who would come with them, because they would have those who would be the scout, who would go before, those who would protect them. And they came. This is a big deal. Now let me stop here for just a moment. We've got some people, we've got some people in Christendom, even today, who want to limit the importance of Christmas. I want you to hear me clearly today. Look at all of the scriptures that we have read in this Advent season that are directly about the birth of the Christ, the birth of Messiah, the birth of Yeshua. It's important. It was important enough for God to assign a star. Now, all sorts of theories on that. We're not going to get into those. All sorts of theories on that. The bottom line is, God assigned a star to guide them. You see, He spoke in the language they could understand. And how does this story begin? This story begins by people listening to the voice of God. These guys come from hundreds of miles away because they've heard God's voice. I want you to know today, God can get it into your language. You just need to start listening. He'll speak your language. He speaks to you where you are. He makes things plain. In this Christmas season, in this time of Advent, in this time of celebration, we need to be listening to His voice. It was important enough to them, and God had motivated them enough. Now, these guys were probably not even God-fearers. But they heard the voice of God. And they were drawn. A little side note, for some of you that are praying for family members and friends, that you've shared Christ with them and you want them to come to Christ in faith and trust, the most important thing you can do for them is to pray. To pray. Asking God that He'll put it in their language. How many of you here, when you came to Christ, did He put it in your language? Huh? Where you could understand? Speak to you. So did that for them. And they launched this. This is quite an expedition. To go to this place where they'd never been, most probably. Waltz into the court of this king. Who knows how hostile he would have been. And ask the sitting king, no, where's the one that was born king? That's pretty gutsy. That's pretty strong. Now, I want you to also know in the story, as you look at it, who does he consult with? When the chips are down, and you really need an answer, and you need to know what the truth is, who are you going to speak to? That's right. That's right. He is no religious person by any manner of means. He is not a celebrant of Judaism. He is secular all the way. And who does he call him? Scripture says, and gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Even a spiritual ignoramus like Herod had already heard and knew that there was a Messiah promised and knew that this book spoke of him. Let's not limit the power and the influence of the Word of God. And so, they looked, and lo and behold, there it is, in Bethlehem. Now, what was his plan? Well, we see what his plan was, because after the Magi left, what does he do? You remember? He launches the what in historically we have called the slaying of the innocent, where soldiers go in and kill all the children 2 years and younger. Which, by the way, is another point. The Magi were not at the birth at the same time as the shepherd. Now, I know we time warp some of our nativity scenes, and we put the Magi there and all, and it's good that they are part of the story. They just weren't there at the same time. You see, they were, the Scripture said they were in a house by this time. And he's not spoken of he's spoken of as a child. Different word. So they came later. And Mary and Joseph are there with Jesus in Bethlehem. And of course, when the Magi leave, God then comes with an angel, speaks to Joseph and tells Joseph, you remember what he tells Joseph? Get out of here, because that there's about to be some killing going on. Go down to Egypt, that it would be fulfilled concerning him what the Scripture says, that my son would come out of Egypt. And people look at that and say, well, yeah, he says he's born in Bethlehem, but he's going to come out of Egypt, but he's going to be called a Nazarene. How could all that be true? Read the story. He was born in Bethlehem. He went down to Egypt. He came out of Egypt. And he grew up in Nazareth. There you go. No limitation on God. His word is true. Okay. Show us where the child is. So they went to Bethlehem. On hearing the king, they went their way. The star went on before. Then the star came and stood over the place where the child was. Talk about spotlight. Spotlight of it. When they saw the star, they had exceedingly great joy. Tell me, what do you think exceedingly great joy looked like expressed by Persian Magi? There you go. That's great. Those of you that missed it, you missed it this morning. It was great. Well, whatever in your mind's eye, because your imagination is as good as mine, it was exceeding great joy. It was jumping up and down, excitement. There, in the presence of God Himself. God Himself. You see that? The Word became flesh, and they were beholding His glory. They worshiped Him. Scripture says they fell down. They fell down their faces. I'm telling you. God's into falling out. He's into that. Because when you get in His presence, that's the only thing you can do. When you're so much in His presence, fell down before him. It kind of reminds me, remember when he was in the garden as an adult and just before his crucifixion, he'd gone to the garden and the temple guards had gone to fetch him. And Judas was leading the way with a kiss. And when the guards came up, remember, and I believe it was in the Gospel of John, it records that when they came to his presence, they fell down. Again, a little reminder, a little glimpse of the glory of God Himself. And they opened the treasure. These were not insignificant treasures in their meaning. What do they mean? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why gold? They brought gold. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The revelation of God Himself. And one day He's coming back. He came as a suffering servant the first time. But when He comes back the second time, He's coming back as a reigning King. He came in on a donkey the first time. He's coming in on a stallion the next time. The reigning King. Gold. Frankincense. What about frankincense? What do you think of incense? His other offer. He is both King and Priest. He is the great high priest. We see from the book of Hebrews, after the order of Melchizedek, the reigning priest. The one, and what is a priest? A priest who is the go-between. He is the ultimate go-between for us. The one who bridged the gap between God and man. Man could not reach God. That's religion, trying to reach God. But you see, relationship is God coming to man and Himself being the bridge. Think of Him hanging on that cross, the bridge for mankind, suffering on that cross. And here is a prophetic gift. Two of them. Gold, kingly, frankincense, his priestly office, he would go in. But how about the third one? Myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now we're getting down to business. Because myrrh was one of the things they used to surround the body. You see, another prophetic gift. Because this King of glory stepped out and would become our high priest, would be the one who would lay down his life and die. So if they worshiped Him with these gifts, they will worship Him, the real Jesus, who He really was and is, and ever shall be. Does it make sense to you? It's so simple. Who do you see? He wants to be King so that He can make you a priest to others. That's right. That's right. A connection to others. But before you can come to Him, you've got to die. You've got to die to self. You've got to die to everything that you thought would get you to God, yourself. You've got to give up. That's why the universal sign for worship and for giving up are the same. I give up. I give up. It was Christmas Eve. Many years ago in a little northeastern town, family was getting ready to go to the Christmas Eve service. Neat little family. Kids are getting ready. Mom's getting ready. Dad's sitting by the fire with the newspaper. Mom says for the one last time, "Dear, won't you come with us this year? Just once go to the Christmas Eve service with us." "Ah, I don't need any of that God stuff. Y'all go on. I'll be here when you get back." As they were leaving, the snow began to fall a little harder. Big picture window. There, fireplace over here. Imagine the scene now. Getting on towards dark. Snow's falling. He's trying to read his paper, and all of a sudden he hears a thump. Then another thump. Thump, thump. And he looks up, and just in time to see another bird try to fly through his window. And two more come. And he goes up and he looks there, and there are all these birds just flopping around in the snow now, drunk from having been knocked out on the glass. He imagines that it's cold. They've seen the light, sensed warmth, and tried to come into his house through that picture window. He feels sorry for the birds, and he goes out, puts on his jacket, and goes outside and tries to pick them up, but the more he tries to do, they just scatter, and they're flopping around. And so he goes and opens his barn door. He says, "Maybe if I can get them inside there, they'll warm up and they'll survive." So he tries to shoo the birds in there. And the more he shoos, the more they scatter, and he tries to speak bird talk, and he can't do it. And he tries everything, and finally he becomes so frustrated that he cries out, "If only I could become a bird, I could lead them into that barn." About that time, the church bell rang. He's already on his knees. He realizes what Christmas is all about. He says, "Yes, Lord. You've been shooing me all my life." And finally, you became a man like me. You walked in flesh that you might save souls. When his family came home that evening, they came home to a different husband because his family is God. See who he is. Is the ultimate question. Who is he to you? Let's bow. As we open the altar today, I want you to know God hears your prayer. Whatever needs you have today, he's here. If you've never received him into your life, I don't know for sure that Jesus is Lord of your life, today you can receive him by asking him to come in, to be your Savior and Lord, to give him your life. If you have a prayer need today, I want you to know that the God of all comfort is here. He was big enough to walk in the flesh, to humble himself in that way. He cares about what's going on with you today in your life. Won't you today turn it over to him? Release it, whatever it is. Let me pray for him. The altar's open. Lord, as we open the altar today, we acknowledge that you are Lord over all, and we bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Christ, the Son of the living God, the revelation of God to me. And Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come now in this place. Come with power. Come with healing. Come with restoration. Come with fulfillment in our lives today. May we turn to you for everything. Come now. We pray. Has God spoken to you today? Play this morning. Music that we've sung. Prayer. Has the Lord spoken to you? All fist together. Be sure and greet one another before you go today. Make sure you invite folks for a Christmas Eve. It'll be a great, great time together. It'll last 40, 45 minutes. But come with an open heart. Miss Betty, we're glad you're back today. You're looking good. Next time, maybe they'll call me in and I can do that wire without puncturing your lungs. Or Bob, maybe. I don't know. Let's have a final prayer. Praise to the Lord. Lord, as we go out, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I send you out in His power, with His presence, with the very spirit of Christmas. The Holy Spirit. In your name we pray.